This is the Development Locker podcast, and this is your weekly investment in your development as you continue your transition through life and academy football. In season three, we bring you even more episodes, more guests who you can connect with, and even more insight into individuals like you who have a similar experiences in pursuing a career in the professional game. Over the next 11 months and 48 episodes, we aim to cover the key topics you will face along your journey. From the challenges you will have to overcome, the ups, the downs, and many experiences along the way. We will be here every week to discuss the current issues in your lives, support you in your journey, and continue your development to being the best version of you. In your interviews from the locker. What is mindset? Well, today's guest will be able to tell you just that. How it differs from mentality, the crossovers between this and psychology too. Matt Young is a former professional football player who recognised the importance of mindset in elite performance, not just in football. Through his journey, he has seen things and shared experiences that have made him the person he is today. Learning from managers, coaches, support staff, teammates and opposition players, embedding this into his Made in Mind platform. He now supports others via his strategy towards performing at their peak or leading a fulfilled life. Matt took time out of his busy schedule to discuss the key points on mindset, but enough of this build up and let's get you to the real thing in this week's interview from the locker. Welcome back, and we have yet another guest for you, and again, something very different. So I'm not going to give too much away. Our guest, Matt, can do that all in by himself, but we're going to get straight into the question. As we do, Matt, on this podcast, we always start with a why. I suppose the first question I want to ask you is, in terms of your transition, it's very unique from professional football player to mindset coach. How did that come about, and what were the reasons behind it?
Lovely. Thank you very much, Lee, for having me on. So, as you touched on, my career in a nutshell was 8 years as a professional footballer, come through the academy at Tottenham Hotspur, then signed professional terms at Southampton, spent 4 years at Southampton, then moved to Sheffield Wednesday, played up in Carlisle, over in Dover, Kidderminster, over in Woking. So made my way around for 8 years, and pretty much my career was built around this psyche, this mindset. It was my biggest attribute, still is, and it was something that I forged everything else around. Don't get me wrong, I could play, I was technically sound, but that was really my biggest asset. And when I understood where my career was heading, I went into part-time football in 2018. I always knew that post my playing career, mindset coaching, psychology, being a supporter, guide, a coach, a mentor for those who are coming through the system and been in my position, for example, was always something that I was passionate about. So when I went into part-time, I set up that business. This was 6 months before everything happened with COVID. COVID happened, part-time football goes down, and that sort of almost accelerated that process. And with my contacts and with things in football and my sort of reputation, I suppose, that I'd built in that previous year or so in building my brand and building my business, work come quite fast, quite thick. And that's hence where we are today, sitting here on this podcast right now.
No, that's great. I mean, yeah, I mean, in terms of mindset coach, we'll go into that a lot deeper in a minute in regards to that. And it's great that, you know, in terms of you've made that leap. And, you know, I think we've had a few guests on recently around transition. I think in terms of their difficulty in how they've done it, yours, I'm not saying was easy, but it seems that you've had a clear pathway and a clear trajectory into, you know, playing into now kind of helping those others who are still playing or helping those who are not playing as well.
Sorry to interject with that, but one thing I found that was really beneficial, and this comes back to my knowledge of the mind and psychology, was that football was my absolute life. It was my absolute being. It was who I saw Matt Young as. He was a footballer, and that was everything about me. But the more I understood the mind, the more I understood human behavior and human psychology, I understood that football was a vehicle for me to use this identity, if you like, that I've created for myself. And when I understood that, I understood and I looked at what football gave me, and then I've chose to take what football has given me and find that in my business and put that into my business. And that's why it can give me the same, if not more, amount of passion and impact and drive, because I understand that football was a vehicle for me at that period of time. And I've used that vehicle now just to essentially, forgive the metaphor, but change cars. And now I have a vehicle to drive that.
Yeah, no, that's a great analogy. And I think it's important that, I think sometimes analogies are good, aren't they, to kind of visualize what they're doing and, you know, the journey, the destination, the cars. That's a great analogy. In terms of mindset then, people may think they know what mindset is. Mm. People may have a misunderstanding of what it is. What's your thoughts on that? Where does mindset sit within, because a lot of people maybe interchange that with psychology or a mental coach. Yeah. Are they similar? Are they totally different? What's the difference?
My, I suppose, layman's terms, my basic reasoning in how to differentiate this is mindset is everything that is cognitive, everything that is conscious, the rational, the thinking, the day-to-day strategies and habits that you put in your life. That for me is the mindset, because that is everything that you are consciously putting in place. That's why we can alter mindset through a conversation. We can alter mindset through education. We can alter mindset through reading a book, things like that. Psychology for me is a little bit deeper. There's your psychology is something that's deeply embedded within you. Your psychology is your wiring, is your deep belief system, is your emotional side of your brain. And I think that's where the two differentiate. And my line of work, I work with both. I think we live in a day and age now where people are almost drowned in information, but they're gasping for that little bit of wisdom. And I think sometimes that's where mindset can be really powerful, because it can give people that 1 or 2 degree shift that they need consciously, that they need cognitively to be able to, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I can see that, why that applies to me. Here's some habitual behaviors I can put in place. But I also believe that there is definitely a place for psychology, in my language of it, that is a bit deeper, where people, for example, this was me back when I was playing, things like this, I've got such deep embedded roots, if you like, that you need to go into that little bit to be able to fully enhance your mindset. So I hope that sort of differentiates the two.
Yeah, it does. And I think, you know, in terms of, I think it's important, obviously, for some of the future questions we're going to ask. But I also think it's important from a player's perspective, because I know that, you know, speaking with players and working with them, you know, with the mental side of things, the psychology, those sort of types of areas, they do get a little bit confused. I think it's important to kind of clarify what that is. But that was a textbook definition. You've certainly provided it. So yeah, that's good. In terms of then your mindset, how do you believe that mindset sets people apart, specifically for this episode, players apart from, because you've played at several levels, you've been a professional, you played non-league, you're now from the other side of that career. In your experience, have you seen that mindset is the difference between maybe not making it professional, but fulfilling their potential? Do you see that in life as well as sport? Or is it just all about maybe maintaining a state of flow?
No. I think it is hugely important. When I was about, I'd say, 14, 15, I had a coach at Spurs who, when I was coming through, he said to me, "Look, if you make it as a professional, if you make it into that 0.12%, I think it is now, that make it as a professional in the Premier League," he said, "the margin is so small about the technical, the tactical, the physical side of what you can do. You wouldn't be a professional. You wouldn't be in that 0.12% if you couldn't deliver on that aspect." He said, "What will separate the average from the good and the good from the great will be what goes on between their ears." And as you touched on, I think that I was fortunate to come through maybe two of the best academies in the country in Tottenham Hotspur and then into Southampton, and seeing the way that things are done, just from, like what I said, from a mindset perspective, in the cognitive daily habits, the daily behaviours of the way things are run, to then, as you say, working my way down the ladder and playing non-league. I've played with some technically and tactically unbelievable players in non-league level. However, the big difference goes back to what I got told at 14 or 15, and it really resonates with me over and over, is that the difference is just in between the ears, because the technical and tactical aspects of some of the players that I played with in non-league at times would be at a par even with people I played with in the Premier League. I'm not saying that for hyperbole or exaggeration, but the difference in mentality, the difference in mindset, the day-to-day habits was so different, was so vast, that you could see that that's why someone was playing in the Premier League and someone was playing in a lower division.
Yeah, and it's so, in terms of, does that do you see, because obviously you've got, you know, clients, people that you're working with at the moment, is it all about maximizing their potential and making the next step, or is it just the state of flow? Is it a maintenance thing? Is it always building? Is it always improving? Or does it depend on the individual?
Yeah, I think my term is blanket coaching. Now, what I mean by blanket coaching, I think, is that there is a certain aspect at times when we talk about a sort of a word like mindset, we can blanket coach and say that this is a one size fits all. But ultimately, what makes you tick, what drives you, is different to what drives me, is different to your listeners, for example, who are listening to this. And I think when it comes to mindset, we all have something that makes us tick. We all have something that matters to us personally. We all have a drive. We all have something that ultimately makes us want to go and achieve. And I think that the real nuts and bolts of it are that when you can tap into someone's reason, when you can tap into someone's psyche that actually resonates with them, then all of a sudden you've got a key, if you like, for them to unlock their own doors. What I find that most people maybe get friction with is that they enter a football club, they enter a business, they enter whatever it may be, and say it's a one size fits all policy. And sometimes this can happen on a technical and tactical aspect as well, and things like this. But from a solely psychological and mindset aspect, I think that although there are certain principles, absolutely, that people must sort of understand in order to enhance their mindset, ultimately what makes Lee tick is different to what makes Matt tick. And when you can really find that in the individual, that's when they can then maximize.
Yeah, that's really interesting, that. And I suppose maybe a personal question here, but did you always have that mindset? Are you one of those individuals who, you know, whether it's in the changing room, in an office, you know, wherever the place of work is, did you always have that belief that you were channeling everything into being the best version of you and maximizing your potential? Or was it due to your struggles that enabled you basically to become the person that you are now and build upon your own skill set and become a mindset coach?
Yeah, it's a really great question. And the reason I say that is because it took me to a place where, towards the end of my career, to really analyze why I was in the situation where I was in. I had aspirations of being in the Premier League, of playing for my country and things like this. And someone who was so driven and so passionate and so, like you say, had such a strong mindset around this. And I applied what I thought were these principles. How could I be in this situation? And it's interesting what you say, because when I analyze myself and working with people and working with sort of mindset mentors and coaches around this, I could see a lot of my personal drive was a drive through pain, or what as you've just called struggle there. And for me, mindset was something that I could have complete control of. And I used to try and use my mindset as a way of absolutely not looking at the things that maybe come up in my life, or come up in things that maybe I needed addressing in other areas of my life, in my personal life, but using my mindset and saying, no, I'm a driven, I'm hardworking, I'm dedicated, I'd give my life to football. But in doing that and in having that approach, you sort of miss the main parts of really what are making you tick. And this is what I mean, that I would find myself in a position where my whole life was dedicated to football. You speak through any of my coaches that I've worked with, it was football. That is what I'd do. I'd train, I'd eat, I'd sleep, I'd go home, I'd recover, I'd go and do the same thing again. I'd be looking at ways to enhance my game. But what I wouldn't do is look at ways to enhance myself. I wouldn't look at ways that I could go and enhance who Matt Young is as a person at his core. And I think had I done that, it would have led my path to a very different trajectory, because although my mindset in the application of football was at an absolute peak, was very, very high, my mindset and my approach to wanting to uncover more within me, I used to mask through channeling that into football. And I hope that's coming across sort of quite clearly, because I think that's so important. Because when I work with players now, in different areas, and not even players, when I work with business people as well, my focus is on enhancing the human being. Because if I can help enhance the mindset and the psychology of the human being, then what I said at the start of this podcast, you can choose the vehicle that you want to apply that down. Now, at the moment, that might be football, great. But then you can apply that into your relationships in other areas. I'm going a bit deeper with it now. But
no, that's good. That's good.
That's why I think it is so, so important. Because as I say, so many of us wear masks, quote, that we wear these masks to cover up certain things in our life. And on the surface, Matt Young coming through was very confident, very hardworking, very dedicated, very driven person. But when it's Matt in the four walls of his home, and it's Matt that detaches himself from being a footballer for when he's at the training ground, it was a very different Matt Young. And that's because I focused so much on the mindset of being a footballer that I forgot about the mindset of who Matt Young was.
Yeah, the mask wearing is very interesting, and we've covered an identity piece numerous times on the podcast. And it's always I don't envy you in your role, because that's a massive kind of piece of work. That's a massive task to take on, to not necessarily change someone's identity, but who they identify as, what different masks they're wearing at different times in different environments in front of different people. So yeah, you've obviously got a difficult job in your hand, and I suppose that's where your strategy comes in. And yeah, I wanted to touch upon that. I mean, I don't need to give away all your secrets, but can you give us an overview, or just a title, or the bullet points of the strategy that you use to be able to work with the people that you work with in terms of developing their own mindset that is specific and unique to them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what I touched on there, I suppose that edged a little bit more into the psychology aspect of it. But when it comes to the mindset, my whole philosophy, and through my research, through my experience, through people I've worked with, is built around three pillars in particular. And for me, that I've uncovered, and results speak for themselves, that when you master these three pillars, you can be in control of your mindset completely. And number one, that would be in around your physiology. Now, what I mean by that is, your physiology is a fancy word for your body. But what most people maybe don't realize is that 80% of the sort of neurons in your body are afferent, meaning they talk all the time, but they talk from your body to your mind. So for example, when you see a player on a pitch, and this is just a small example of this, without even conversing, without even watching the game in too much detail, you can see what state they're in just from how they hold their body. Now, that's from us looking at a perspective, but what that player is actually doing to themselves is that 80% of them are putting them in a certain state. 80% of them are already working against their own beliefs and their own sort of thoughts and feelings and things like that. So that's number one, is around the physiology. Because once you've got control of your physiology, and I have certain strategies, as you say, techniques and sort of principles in place of how to do that, then it's about what goes on between the ears. And what goes on between the ears is, we only internally represent information in two ways, through words and through images. So what we think about and what we ultimately speak about is, on what we hear, sorry, as well, is ultimately what goes on between our heads. And what I find that most players who maybe suffer a dip in form, or maybe are in a bit of a doldrum with certain things, is that the images and the words are things that they don't want to happen. I hope I don't mess up. I hope that I can play well. What about if this happens? And this creates images and things like this in our mind that we're not in control of. So once we've mastered our physiology in our body, then we move to the focus. And then the final bit is the creation, which most people try to focus on more than anything. Like I did with my football, I just focused on the tangible actions that I did every day. But I forgot about the first two pillars. But so when I focus on my daily habits, when I focus on the daily things that I put in place, when I'm in a state of being confident within myself from a sort of a personal point of view, but also from a science point of view of how your body talks to your mind, I'm in control of that way. Then I'm channeling my focus. And then through actually my daily habits, my daily actions, how I'm repetitively conditioning my mindset day to day, then you have an absolute recipe for success. Then you have an absolute warrior who is ready to step out in any situation. When you enhance these skills and go a little bit deeper and try to enhance these strategies, then you have an absolute warrior who isn't just doing it because they're wearing a mask, but they understand that they're in control of their mindset and their emotions. And that for me is the ultimate power.
You mentioned control there, but yeah, that is an interesting one, because obviously the classic psychological phrase is control the controllables, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I suppose that kind of transfers over into that one. But I think maybe in life, in sport, in football, you know, can we truly control everything? No. Can we control our thought process? And you're advocating that, you know, we can have a high degree of control over that. If that's the case, then, mm-hmm. and this is a two-part question, really. In your experience as a player and now someone who works with some of the elite football clubs in the country, are academy players getting coaching workshop sessions that are in and around mindset? And if not, why not? If what you just said about them becoming warriors, them having to control their own thought processes to be able to be the best individuals they can be, so do they get something similar to that, maybe not necessarily from yourself, in academies in football? And if not, why not?
I think it's getting better. I've been fortunate enough to have some great conversations with some great people who are doing great work in a lot of different areas. And I think when I was coming through the system and I was a young professional and things like this, when I look at what was available to me then compared to now, I think absolutely it's definitely enhanced. However, I do think football as a sport does have a way to go as well. When I look at boxing, when I look at golf, when I look at tennis, I've worked with netball players, I've worked with hockey players, there seems much more of a proactive approach to the mindset and psychological side of the game. Now, I do think, like what I say, I'll reiterate that football is getting better at this, but I do think it's behind in this aspect. And I think it's two parts. I think one, that there is still around football, I think there is still a barrier, a friction in the psychology side of football. I do believe that, not from a sense that people don't want it enhanced and things like that, but I think there's such a focus and such a drive that technically we need to be sound, tactically we need to be sound, physically we need to be in the right place, you need to make sure you're resting and things like this, that the same way that I approached it back then, I don't see that much of an enhancement from the mindset side of the player, because there's such a focus on making sure we're physically and tactically and technically ready. But on the flip side of that, I also believe that the player has to take more ownership as well. And this is one thing that I'm a big driver of, that ultimately, whether a club, whether an organisation, in whatever sector you are in, is putting things in place for you, I believe it is the individual's responsibility to recognise where they're at and then be proactive in that sort of realm. There's no point me being aware of a potential downfall that I might have. Not a downfall. There may be a potential thing that I need to enhance,
yeah,
but then not doing anything about it. Because then for me, you're in a position where you're starting to blame, you're starting to point fingers, and then that doesn't end well for anyone. So, yes, I think football's better. I think football's enhancing. I still think it's slightly behind the curve. But also, I think that the player, the individual, whoever that may be, needs to take it upon themselves to say, you know what? I will need to enhance this. I want to enhance this. I'm looking to enhance certain areas. How can I be proactive about this? Because I think as well, when the player does that, when the player maybe takes that ownership, and ownership's a big thing for me, when they take that ownership in approaching their club or approaching an organisation or whatever it may be around this areas, you'll see even faster moving growth around this.
Yeah, it's, in terms of that, I think ownership and accountability has to be a must in mindset coaching, you know, whatever it is, like you said, the technical, tactical, physical, psychological aspects, there's got to be that accountability and ownership. And I suppose in terms of an academy player, first off, we'll move on to a young professional, but as an academy player, can they become, I'm not doing you out of a job here, can they become their own mindset coach? Is this something that an easy win, a tip, you know, a kind of a first step for them to take to kind of almost become their own mindset coach? Because in the best world of the world, as good as you are at your job, and there's only one of you, and, you know, in terms of there'll be, you know, a number of people listening to this who may or may not feel that they'll be able to reach out to you, who will be able to, you know, be able to financially, you know, enter into a mindset program or whatever the barrier may be. Is this something as an easy win they're listening to us right now and going, okay, if you do anything, do this, and that will be a step in the right direction. So whether that's around accountability, ownership, thought control, it's, yeah, totally up to you. Is this something that an academy player can be doing?
Absolutely. At whatever age or whatever level, I think the first area around this is awareness, is whether that's through self-awareness, whether that's through a chat with the family, whether that's through a chat with the club, whatever it may be. But awareness around the fact that there are things I would like to enhance. There are things I would like to progress in this area. And then we are, like what I said earlier in this podcast, we are absolute drowned in information these days. It takes two clicks on your laptop and you can find information in whatever area it may be. And I think that proactive nature, I always say movement carries momentum. Momentum carries conviction. Conviction carries power. But that gets started from when you start to move in the direction you want. That then begins the momentum. That then starts to get the wheels turning, the cogs churning, and us moving forward. And I think for anyone, that starts with awareness. Most of us, I think, live in a sort of a boxed mind. We call it a growth mindset, a closed mindset. Most of us live in a boxed mind where we find that the world at times has to try and mold to us. But obviously, that you and I know that isn't the way that it works. It's up for us to find the mental and emotional skills to be able to deal with life's challenges, be able to overcome life's challenges, be able to be adaptable in certain situations and move forward. And that comes from being proactive. And that comes from taking ownership. Now, like I said, I think anyone can do that. I can point you in the direction of a couple of great books or great videos around that as well. Or even, as I say, some of the things that I offer are for free that I can pass on. Absolutely, where people can take ownership from that from a young age at an academy level. But like anything, I think the power of working with someone, whether that is a coach, whether that's a mentor, whether that's someone that you trust, whether that's someone who's been where you want to be, is that they're not emotionally attached like you are. Like, it's like anything. It's when you're in the when you're in the midst of the battle, you can't see the strategy of how to move past it. But when you take that bird's eye view, you can actually look down and see that. And that's why we have physical coaches. It's why we have tactical coaches. It's why we have technical coaches. All of this area. And that's why I suppose I'm so passionate about the way that I talk about it, because I'm an huge, huge believer that is ownership first, and that we can start to then, as people, as individuals, as whatever it may be, start to put our own building blocks in place. Yes. But then people only know what they know. From that point, then we can start to learn more from others. Who's been where I want to? How can I get an additional tool from them? How can I enhance this area through what they might say? Oh, they've been where I want to go. How? What are the strategies? Success leaves clues. What were the clues that they've left that ultimately enhanced where they're at? And I think that's why it can be so powerful. But as I say, as a young professional, or sorry, as an academy player coming through, the start and end with that would be awareness. Awareness around the fact that, you know what, this is where I currently am. This is where I want to go. How can I bridge that gap? And once you do that, you start to open your mind to certain elements of, okay, let me try this. And then the movement comes in, then the momentum, conviction, power.
Wow. Yeah, it's really thought provoking. It's just really, yeah, it's, and you put it so simple as well. It's surprising that there's not something probably more widely available for all players, like you said, at all levels, mm-hmm. not just academy. And, you know, maybe it's the step in the right direction we all need to take in working tirelessly to get that across, really. And in terms of that hard work, do you feel, because you mentioned about there's still a lot more to do in football, do you feel that football is behind other sports? Do you feel all sports are pretty much behind the curve in terms of this mindset coaching and the controlling of our thoughts to maximise our potential? And do you feel football is a little bit behind other sports like cricket, rugby, tennis and the like, or a football just really on a par with every sport?
Simply put, in my experience, yes, football is slightly behind. And I don't say that sort of flippantly. I say that, don't get me wrong, I don't know every sport, but from the sports that I have been involved in, I am aware of, and I understand the mechanics behind the scenes, football is slightly behind that curve. And I say that from a look at boxing, a look at golf, I look at some areas of tennis. As I say, I've worked with netball players, I've worked with hockey players, and I see that there is a focus around the mindset, the psychology side of the game in a very proactive way as opposed to reactive. One thing that I find in football, and from my experience that I found with football, and I'm not trying to diminish the impact and the growth and the progression that we're having in football, but I'm just trying to say that I still believe there is more work to do in this area, is that football can be at times a very reactive sport, in the sense that when it comes to the psychology, when it comes to the mindset, it will be when the player loses form, then we'll look at and address that. When the player has an injury, then we'll look at how their mindset is. When the player maybe has something going on in their personal life that isn't quite right, then we'll look at that. But for me, it's like, you wouldn't, if you're driving your car and you can hear rattling, you can see these certain things, there's warning signs going off, all this type of thing, you wouldn't wait for something to fail or to break down for you to actually fix it. You'd try and be proactive in that. You'd get your car serviced every year. You'd get your MOT every year to be able to stay ahead of the curve. And I think that's one thing that football can really, really get better at. And as I say, it is, but I still believe there is a way to go, because when I look at these other sports, when I look at boxing, for example, which has become almost like an art now, it's become an art because it's progressed. If you look at it from where it was 40, 50, 60 years ago, it's a completely different frame of mind. And maybe I'm going off tangent a little bit, but maybe someone like Floyd Mayweather, you look at the way that he's approached it, or the Klitschko brothers, they see it, it's yeah. almost a game of chess for them. It's a game of chess, and it comes from a psychology and a mindset approach that it's not a brawl. It's not what boxing was sort of stereotypically and in the olden days used to be sort of focused on. It's become a game of chess now, and that comes from a mindset and a psychology and being proactive in that approach. So yeah, that would be my personal opinion on it.
I mean, proactivity, yeah, certainly. I mean, last week's episode was talking around being on the front foot. Certainly think that ties into it. But yeah, speaking of tying in, you do love a good analogy, but you use it so effectively as well in terms of you getting that visual, getting those points across. And it's good to hear in a way that, you know, you are trying to change things you are changing things in football. And, you know, hopefully, you know, regardless of comparing ourselves with other sports, that we're trying to bridge that gap. And so in terms of bridging that gap, do we, as a mindset coach, you work with a variety of people, do we all have that potential to, I suppose we all have that potential to be the best person that we can be, but you were saying, or we were saying at the beginning about it being the 1%, the very small kind of percentages, the small fractions of those who want to pursue football as a career, professional, semi-professional, whatever level it may be. And there's very few who will achieve it, who can achieve it through mindset or other ways. In terms of, again, your experience then, do we all have that potential, or is it a case of where it's got to be a combination of all those things intertwined, all of those things and your mindset that is at the peak of their powers to let it, well, not to let it happen, to make it happen?
My whole tagline, my motto, my whatever you want to call it, my branding line is unleash your true potential. That is my whole thing. And we all have a limitless pool of potential. It is all in there. We have a limitless pool of potential. And whatever area that may be, we all have that unlimited pool. And what I just find, though, is I say a saying quite a lot, and especially in my events, I say, life is simple. It's made complicated by humans, because we all have this limitless pool of potential, but then we have a belief that gets in the way, or an opinion that gets in the way, or something that's happened to us previously that gets in the way, or something and a behavior that we've adopted through parents that has got in the way. And then all of a sudden, then life becomes complicated, because life isn't the way that really it should be, and I have to try and work this out because of my model of the world. Whereas if we strip it back, strip back all of the layers, strip back all of the masks, and we look at life objectively and rationally, we all have this potential to achieve whatever area it is that we want. And I don't believe that that is capped on anyone. Everyone has got the freedom to dream. Everyone's got the freedom to visualize what they want. The difference, however, between those who dream and those who dream and act lies in essentially what goes on between their head and what they're willing to put in place to get there. Because a coach once said to me, both losers and winners start off with the same dream initially. And that was one that really sort of stuck with me. And you think about it, you take football as an aspect. I haven't got the figure for you, but what would you say, 80, 90% of young children growing up in England at times, they want to be a footballer. They want to be a footballer. And there's such a high demand for it. Or they want to be a sports person or whatever it may be. But why is it that only 0.12% make it as a professional in the Premier League? Why is it that I think the figure's at 75% now maybe drop out at the age of 25 after being a professional? Why is it that 1.5% actually make it as a professional? Is because they've all had the same dream initially. They've all had that potential to be able to. But there's been certain things that people have been willing to put in place and put those building blocks in place to ultimately achieve what they want. And then that's why you see people such as the greats of our sporting world, the Serena Williams, the Tiger Woods, the LeBron James, the Cristiano Ronaldo, the Lionel Messi, whoever it may be. I personally look at them and I think amazing sports person, but from an actual human being point of view, their level of standards, I suppose is the word, that they adhere to for the longevity that they have is the most admirable thing for me, because we've all had that potential. And they are not just people in England, they're worldwide. Everyone's had that potential. But these are the people that have been willing to put these pillars in place to be able to ultimately forge what they have. And I know people listening to this will be like, I know, but LeBron James, it helps that he's 6'8". And don't get me wrong, I understand that. I understand there's certain areas of genetics, there's certain areas that people...
But you're saying you can make them feel 7 foot tall, can you?
Yeah, something like that. I understand that people's opportunities are different and where people start off. I understand that. I do understand that, and I'm not neglecting that. But the point I'm trying to really enforce is that when it comes to potential and when it comes to what's available, that's there for us all. And ultimately, if you're willing to put the different things in place, you sort of make a way. I'm going to go really off tangent here. As a baby, for example, you don't just get up and try to walk once and then go, oh, that's it, forget it. It's not for me. The baby gets up, it tries again, falls down, gets up, tries again, falls down. Then all of a sudden makes it three steps, This is because a baby's potential, it doesn't know anything else. It doesn't know any different. It just gets up and does it again. Then by the age of whatever it is, by the age of one, two, whatever it may be, the baby's then walking. The baby's potential hasn't been diminished through its failures, through actions, through the beliefs, through people's opinions or anything. But when we start to develop our psyche, when we start to develop our mindset on a deeper level, all of a sudden these things start to come in and they think that it affects our potential. But like what I said at the start of this little topic here, when we strip that back, when we really pull back the curtains on that, that unlimited potential is always there.
And you know what? The key word for me, it might not be for you, it might not be for anyone else listening, is that longevity. It's is that, in your opinion, what sets them apart? Because like you said, we've all seen players burst on the scene. We've all seen teams kind of swoop in and you know, whether it's the Premier League or whatever division around the world, or in the Champions League, and for two or three seasons, you know, I'm thinking of like, you know, the Monaco's gone by, or like Porto and Mourinho won and things of that nature. And I think I'll link it back to, I think it was either Sir Alex Ferguson who said it, or Roy Keane, about it's about that constant winning all the time. It's like, oh, we've won that. You know, it's like, what next? What next? What is it, the mindset that separates all of those true, I mean, I don't even, true greats even do them certain. Like you said, they've done it at the very, very top for so long, you almost think it's easy, because you watch it, like you said there, LeBron James, you're just thinking, yeah, I can do a bit of that. And yeah, you watch, you know, Lewis Hamilton drive, you think, oh, it's the car, it's not him. You know, he's just been very lucky with what car he's got, and he can do that. You talk about Ronaldo and you're like, oh yeah, but you know, it's easy. If I'm playing up front for Real Madrid, you know, Juventus, you know, who, Manchester United, I'm going to get chances. I probably stick half the chances away that he does. But they make it look easier. You saying it's the mindset that really gives them that longevity in their career, the standards, the high levels of performance they do?
In a word, yes. I think that you can't have that level of impact in a sporting sense, in a life sense as well, without having a certain mindset in place. Now, when I say a certain mindset, I don't mean to pigeonhole them and say it's available to them and not available to others, because it's available to everyone.
Here's Serena's program. If you want to be a world tennis star for the next 15 years, here you go.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's available to everyone. But I think what makes us admire and what makes us really say, you know what, these people are great, because you like what you said it perfectly, that we always have these players, and if we're talking from a football aspect, we always have these players that come through and they're great for two, three seasons. They're at a really high level.
Yeah.
But that's great. And they are great for that period of time. But what makes people legendary? What makes people generational? What makes people, for example, you look at the impact that Ronaldo and Messi and these types of players have now, is that somewhere in their psyche, whatever matters to them, there is this unrelenting drive to be at that level, to keep enhancing their standards, to keep progressing. If you look at Ronaldo's game from where he was when he was 19 to where he is when he was 29 to now where he is when I think he's just turned 38, it is completely different. Like what I said with the academy player who wants to take ownership and wants to start looking at different mindset stuff, that wouldn't happen unless there was a certain element of he wanted to bring awareness to that, and a certain shift in what he wanted to do. If he still tried to play the game now the same way he did when he was 19, he wouldn't be nearly as effective as what he was. You look at the way Messi changed that. Ryan Giggs, going back a couple of years, did it perfectly. A flying winger, then become someone who played in the middle of the park and controlled it in there. There has to be a certain element of what we call in modern society a growth mindset, to be able to look at yourself and say, okay, this is where I'm at. Look at it objectively, and ultimately enhance the internal before then you start to do anything external. And I think when you look at anyone, like what you've said, in sports or in football in particular, who has been able to hold that longevity, they've had things that they've had to come out, fight adversity, they've had to move past things, but there's always been a development of their mind that has then led to a development in their game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, we could stay on for longer, probably stay on all day and probably not even get to the bottom of mindset. So that's how clever you are. That's how good at your job you are. And I suppose that's, again, the need for this type of training, this type of support that, you know, he's certainly needed in academy football, obviously, if not, you know, across all sports. But I suppose really the most difficult question I think now is going to be that this last one is one piece of advice that you want to leave our listeners with, and that could be a reiteration of what you spoke about before, or it could be something new that you want to kind of leave as a resonating analogy, key message, mantra, whatever you want it to be. It's totally up to you. The floor is yours. A lasting message for our listeners?
A lasting message for me would be that I think we live in a day and age now where we are all making the best of situations. We're making the best of circumstances. We're making the best of what is going on. And my message would be something that I believe in. I believe in being proactive. I believe in taking action. I believe in sort of actually putting tangible steps in place. I would encourage whoever is listening to this that when they come away, when they've got 5, 10, 15 minutes to themselves, write down on a sheet of paper exactly who you are and who it is, who you want to be, who you see yourself as, who you want to ultimately become, that is the person that is going to make you feel passionate, driven, determined, fulfilled, whatever it may be. And then once you have done that, and this is a sort of a small form of an identity shift, I would say look at where you are now. And this can be done with a close companion, a friend, a spouse, whoever it may be, because this is great to look at where you are now. And then, like what I said with the academy player, with the young professional, with anyone, what are the things you can do to start bridging that gap that you've got there? Because you've wrote down the ultimate you, if you like, in quotes. You've wrote that down and you've maybe gone into hopefully good detail about who that person is. But the reason you've wrote that down as that person there is because that's not who you currently are. And there is something that you need to do to bridge that gap. And as I said about 5 minutes ago, anything that enhances externally starts with enhancing internally. So once they've done that, look at where you are now with radical transparency and see what tangible steps need to be put in place. And as I say, I'm more than happy to help with this. This is something that I'm very passionate about. I'm happy to send you the link as well, Lee, so you can forward this to your listeners on my website.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I have a free like 5-day mindset training where it's like 8 to 12 minute videos that basically guide people through this process. And people can more than happy to download that and use that for their own aspect. But that would be my message to leave with it, a tangible action that isn't just, you know what, this has been a great 45 minutes of listening to that podcast. Oh, that was some valid points. But no, you know what, that resonated with me. Now let me put some movement in place to create momentum. Momentum carries conviction. Conviction carries power. Then we can start to build that now.
No, that's absolutely perfect. And I suppose, you know, I'm not going to steal your thunder there. I think the action, yeah, and I'm sure, I hope, and yeah, in terms of action, our listeners do need to take action, because I think going right back to the beginning of the episode, it's that controllable, it's that accountability, it's that ownership, and you can. And yeah, if you can send that link, we'll be sure to include that on the podcast bio so that the listeners can then click on that and start to take action and start to kind of take that journey onto getting a better mindset and realizing their own potential. So yeah, it's been superb. Like I just said, you know, I could stay on here forever, but yeah, unfortunately, I'm sure we've both got other things that we need to do. And yeah, when a podcast tends to get above an hour, I can feel that people's attention maybe wane a little bit slightly. But no, that's been great, and really appreciate you sparing the time, Matt, and sharing that link with us and our listeners. I think it'll be very impactful for them to be able to take action on something that will be, you know, purposeful for them. So yeah, thanks on behalf of myself. Thanks on behalf of listeners. It's been great.
Thank you very much, Noel. I appreciate you having me, and I look forward to chatting again soon.
Mindset is key, that's for sure. And listen to Matt, you can no longer be of the opinion that your mental approach to your life, career, or sport doesn't matter. Because it does. Matt loves an analogy, doesn't he? But in providing you with these, he does what every expert does in their field of work: make the complicated easy to understand. Life is a journey. Yes, it's cliche. You've heard it before. I know, but it's true. And football is no different. You're all striving for that destination, whether it be to turn pro, make your debut, score your first goal, get to 100 appearances, or that first cap for England. But in doing so, you miss out on the journey. You can't have the ups without the downs. And I'll stop, as I'm pretty sure you get the point. Enjoy the journey, wherever it may take you, and be sure to tap in to Matt's free resource to make sure you have the right mindset to do just that. See you next week for more interviews from the locker. Thanks for listening to this week's episode, and we hope you have taken many key messages away with you. But the next part is down to you now, by putting these into action. If you'd like today's episode, feel free to tell us on our various social media platforms, where you can find us at @thelocker_UK. For guest recommendations, future topics to be discussed, or you simply want to reach out, you can do so by emailing us on thedevelopmentlocker@gmail.co.uk. Remember to share this episode and our platform with your teammates, friends in football, or anyone you feel would benefit from it. So, what are you waiting for? But you're not done yet, as we look forward to seeing you next week when we bring you another interview from the locker.